This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon and welcome to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sand.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And we are from the Bahamian Contractors Association. Now, today, in my opening salvo, I would like to address a communication that was in the newspaper sent to me by one of our good members. And I shared it with the board of the Bahamian Contractors Association. And you're going to find out why I speak about the Bahamian Contractors Association board that is different from the Construction Contractors Board. So, there's a letter inside another newspaper, not The Guardian, talking about, and the person said, the Contractors Association board must be separate. And I imagine, and so the writer goes on to say, kindly allow me space in your valuable column to articulate my opinion on the Bahamian Contractors Association last shot to regulate the construction industry. According to Wednesday's February 11th, firstly, I agree with all the past governments who have refused to appoint board members. Now, first of all, Debbie and I and our board take exception to that, but everyone has a right to their opinion. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what that means when someone say they agreed with that. They agreed that allowing the chaos that exists in this industry to remain is good for you. They agree that unregulated activities in construction is where the normalcy should happen, Debbie. That should be the norm. That's what that person agrees with, because he agrees that with all governments who have not appointed the board. Let me go further. I believe that whatever, if a government appoints members, it ought to separate them apart from the Bahamian Contractors Association. And I just want to hold the point right there. Let me hold the point right there. So this is where the show is fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is about education.
Yes.
So let us educate the public. Part 2 of the Construction Contractors Act, mm-hmm, 2016, uh-huh, passed by the Parliament of the Bahamas, received its royal assent May 8th.
And if anybody reads it, they can see it's gazetted, so it really
gazetted,
does. Yes.
May 8th, 2017. Mm-hmm. Part 2, the Construction Contractors Board. So for the gentleman who clearly has not read the act, there is hereby established a body to be known as the Construction Contractors Board, which shall discharge the responsibilities assigned to the board under this act. Subject to the provisions of subsection 3, the board shall consist of the following members. Now, let's just remember that the gentleman said he wanted to make sure that the Bayman Contractors Association should be separate from this board. Now, let's see who consists of the board. Subsection 2, A, the Director of Public Works is ex officio or shall, or such as other professional in the public service who is proficient in construction contracting. So, the first member of the board, statutory member, is the Director of Public Works.
Right.
Is the Director of Public Works a member of the Bayman Contractors Association?
I don't think
is
so.
Is he a member of the board?
No.
No. Good. Two, Section B. One registered general contractor appointed by the minister.
Okay.
Now, that individual could even be this guy. It could be the minister's mother. It could be the minister's best friend from college, mm-hmm. high school. It could be a guy he just knows who he likes. It says, this act says, one registered general contractor appointed by the minister. Number three. So, no,
first
we already have two persons. That's on two.
First of all, registered. Where is he going to get a registered one since they haven't registered them yet?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
We have to assume they have to register them first, right?
Okay.
Then, so that's two persons. Keep the count there for me. That's two persons.
I got two fingers up.
One is from one is the Director of Public Works. The second one is appointed by the minister. Uh-huh. It's not Debbie. It's not Leonard. Section three. Mm-hmm. Six other registered contractors appointed on the advice of the association.
That's
advice.
Us. That's us.
Us and others.
Yes.
Our association, mm-hmm. the other associations,
right.
the electrical association. Mm-hmm. That's not just us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it says appointed on the advice, not the direction, not the making it happen this way, on the advice. A very important word there.
Right.
So now that's six persons.
Now we're up to eight.
We have the eight.
Mm-hmm.
And now, D, two other individuals not being contractors.
Okay, perfect.
They could be doctors.
I hope they're lawyers and bankers.
They could be lawyers.
And a banker.
They could be bankers.
Yeah.
They could be accountants.
Mm-hmm.
They could be journalists. Mm-hmm. They could be scuba divers. They could be anything. They could be junglers. They could be anything appointed by the minister.
There
two other persons. So let's see who the minister gets a point.
He gets to do four. We get to do six.
No, he gets more. He gets two there.
Yeah.
He gets the other two.
Two, that's four.
And the one.
Oh, yeah, the minister.
The minister again.
From the one other. Ministry of Works.
No, yes. No. He got Director of Public Works is one.
Okay.
One other general contractor appointed by the minister. That's
okay.
One.
Okay.
The six that's on the advice of the associations.
Right.
And the two other individuals not being contracted. So you got
that's four.
Right, and plus representing the Ministry of Public Works,
mm-hmm.
the director.
Correct.
Right? That's five.
Yeah. So five and six
is 11.
Right.
It's 11 persons on the board.
Right. So I think what people don't understand, for some reason, they don't understand that we are the Bahamian Contractors
Association.
We have a board that every 2 years there's an election, and there's chosen a president, a vice president, treasurer, secretary,
directors,
and six other directors, having nothing to do with the Ministry of Works. We have nothing to do with licensing or registration.
Nothing.
What we are trying to do is educate the people as to what the purpose is of the actual board that we're talking about.
It's
not our board. Our board,
we've had a board from 1958.
Yes, we have. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to let people know that this board, the purpose of it is to register and license contractors.
And that is the statutory duty of this act, what came into place.
And that's it.
That's it. Now, second, let me go further. Section 3, the minister shall not. It gives criteria. The minister shall not appoint more than three persons from the same category of contractors to the members of the board at any same time. So which means is that you may have to have one electrical contractor,
mm-hmm.
you may have to one mechanical
plumbing.
Contractor, you may have to one plumbing contractor,
mm-hmm.
one landscape contractor,
mm-hmm.
one painting contractor,
mm-hmm.
one HVAC contractor, one road contractor.
Maybe even an engineer.
whatever. Yeah. But you just can't appoint more than three from the same category.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
It makes sense.
It's because the construction industry is made up, as we've talked about it before, of not just a contractor, subcontractors, and suppliers. We have to make it even so that the when decisions are made, they're not just based on a carpenter. They're based on a yes.
So let me continue with it. Section 3, subsection B. The minister shall not appoint as a member of the board any person who, under the law of the Bahamas, is not a citizen. Now, you like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The minister can't even appoint a foreigner to the board.
Mm-hmm.
It says the minister shall not appoint as a member of the board any person who, under the law of the Bahamas, is not a citizen or permanent resident of the Bahamas, except is a public officer such as the director of public works. Now, which that means is that the one exception to that rule is if the director of public works is not a citizen of the Bahamas, he could get appointed to the board.
Right.
That's the one exception.
Which has on occasion
exactly.
happened, yes.
But everyone else that the minister shall appoint must be either a citizen or a permanent resident.
Right. And the BCA does not have that as a law or a rule because we are the association.
It's not our
rules. Yes.
This is the statutory act that was passed by the parliament, your parliament, not the BCA's parliament, your parliament. So terms of office, because the gentleman did go to say, and they shouldn't serve more than this. So let me talk about terms of office of board members, because the act speaks to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what Debbie and I are saying is that we take offense sometime to, there's a lot of public chatter, and this document is not a private document. I pulled this down off the internet this afternoon to come here.
Right.
And every time I come here, because I'm lazy and I don't remember to save it to my device, I just Google it and pull it down.
Yeah.
It's in the statute laws of the country. I just go on to bahamas.laws.gov, or go to construction, click, download. That's literally all I do.
Mm-hmm.
So the public can do the same. Read, terms of office for board members. A member of the board shall hold office until the 31st day of December in the year next following the date of the appointment and shall be eligible for reappointment, but for not more than three consecutive terms.
So
the board gets appointed every year.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you get appointed to the board for 3 years, by the fourth year,
you're done. Right.
That's
which
in
is,
the act. That's
which is
not
great.
The Leonard
which
way.
Is great.
That's not the Debbie way. Yeah. That's not any of our ways.
Yeah.
That's what the act of parliament says.
Mm-hmm. That's great because that way it's not like you have somebody who's actually going to
be there
taking over control, not being able to let things change.
Nope.
Not
yes. After 3 years,
mm-hmm.
that board has to be refreshed.
Yes.
Now, I think, I will say this personally because I know how the other boards are, that board makes our board exceptional to all the other boards. I know persons who have been on the Bahamian Institute of Architects board from its first established.
Wow.
That's over 20 years ago. And we could call architects to come and verify that.
Mm-hmm.
Not this board. 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm.
3 years, three times, done.
Well, I what I like about that is because registration and licensing of the contractors is being done on a regular basis, and that's their job to do that, as well as they are the ones that if a client or a contractor has an issue, they would go to the board, and the board would send somebody out to see what's going on and make a determination as to who is at fault and then who would be penalized for it, right? Yeah.
That is
That's
correct.
That's what the board is for.
That's what the board is for. So mm-hmm. let me go to the other part of it when he speaks to the registrar. The minister shall appoint a registrar, which has already been appointed for the public to understand.
Yes, Melissa Hall.
Dr. Melissa Hall
mm-hmm.
is a great attorney
mm-hmm.
and has been received her letters of appointment sometime in 2021. Now
mm-hmm.
we're in 2026.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So she's been in that role for nearly 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The minister shall appoint a registrar who shall hold office for a period of 3 years. Now, this is where it gets dicey.
Ooh.
This is the act.
Right.
Unless they change the registrar, Dr. Hall, someone is in violation of the law in respect to their appointment. This is me reading from the act, section 2, of register and staff, etc. The minister shall appoint a register who shall hold office for a period of 3 years and shall perform the functions assigned to the registrar by or under this act. No other function. Now, this is why I have a challenge. I remember my engagement with the registrar, and I asked her specifically about questions about what is she doing to get the board appointed so that we could get you acting in the capacity in which you've been hired since 2021. Her response to me, quote unquote, is that I have to take instruction from the minister. Now, the law doesn't say you take instruction from the minister.
No.
The law says the register shall provide the board with such other staff and accommodation services and other facilities necessary to expedite the performance of functions of the board, but her primary job is a functions assigned to the registrar under the Act. And the registrar's function, I can show you the function of the registrar is. Register of construction contractors. The board should cause the registrar to keep a register. That's the job.
That's her only job.
Not to be told by anyone else. The board is your boss. The board shall cause the registrar to keep a register to be known as the construction contractors register, which shall contain the names and addresses of every contractor registered under this act, the qualifications by virtue of which the contractor is registered, and such particulars as may be prescribed. That is your job. Mm-hmm. Your job is not to be running around the Ministry of Works doing any other thing that they may tell you to do. In fact, under this act, you could tell them I can sit in this office until I have a register to keep. And you cannot be fired for that because you are doing what the act says your job is to do. And in fact, the board is your boss. You have not had a boss for 5 years. No one else in there is your board. The Director of Public Works is not your boss. The Minister is not your board. The Permanent Secretary is not your boss. In fact, you shouldn't be in that building because no one there is your boss. The board causes the registrar to keep a register of contractors. You work for the board that hasn't been appointed yet. That's wild, isn't it? Just let that sink in, Debbie. Mm-hmm. The individual that's working somewhere in the building for no one who's in the building for a board that hasn't been appointed yet.
So it seems like even the persons who actually passed it and gazetted it have not read it either.
Could not have read it. It's in plain English, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just reading it. I mean, do you find anything outside of that you didn't understand?
No. The thing is, for people who haven't read it, it's 40 pages in total, the Act. But 10 of those pages goes through lists of different kinds of contractors you could be.
Definitions.
Right? And then there's definitions, and there's so many. If you're lucky, there's 20 readable pages.
Of thing related to this act.
Right. I mean, I'm not dismissing the other things as not pertinent, but I'm just saying the things that you need to understand what the board is for and what the rules and regulations of it are limited to like 20 pages max.
Yeah. So let me continue the job of this registrar, because this is part three under registration of contractors, because the act mentions many, many times registered contractor. So let's follow the logic now. If you have a registrar but no board, you could technically register contractors. You can, technically. However, when you go into the function of the board, a person making application to be registered makes it to the board. So you still can't have someone registered if the vehicle in which for them to make an application to be registered to is not in place.
Right, because the board is right now in our imagination.
It's in our imagination.
Yes.
So even if you wanted to get registered as a contractor, you have nobody to make a submission to. This is just getting greater as we continue going there. But all this for the public so they could understand that this is not something we made up. This is the law in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
And it has nothing to do with us. We are just the vehicle talking
about
it.
We're just talking about the law that this law and this board, which is so important, that has not been appointed. And I think sometimes people misinterpret our passion for it because we work in the space, we work in the industry. But this benefits you more than it does us. Mm-hmm. We're craftsmen in the space every day regardless, you know. If nothing happened tomorrow, your company's still going to be in their building, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to change for us, you know.
No.
What it does, it changes for you. Let me give you an example of it. And I shared a video with our board, our members of our board today, of, again, another home being constructed by a contractor who I could only assume has taken parts of a system that should be done a certain way and omitted the parts that he should have kept.
You mean the building code.
The building code. And also the deviation of building code, like I've said before many times on the show. You can have a block-only structure which has to have reinforcement in it and poured block work, because they do it in Florida, they do it in a lot of places, and it's part of our building code too. Mm-hmm. But it has to be a monolithic system.
Right.
System has to be reinforcement all the way up to the top, and it has to be poured concrete.
Right.
What I have a video of is block work, no concrete, no rebar, no columns, and they're projecting that as the same system. That's the point I make about when you have professional contractors would not do that. That's cheating. That's incorrect to the proper way it should be done.
Well, one thing with that is because there's no concrete, there's no columns or anything like that, anybody who has that house is going to have a house that's roof, which is very heavy, supported by blocks, which
just
you, if you've
block.
All seen a block, it's just, it's like, it looks like a letter eight, and they break very easy.
Very easily indeed,
so
yes.
You could imagine
the
weight.
Yeah, and so Because we
have hurricanes that have the uplift, and then we have the others that have the down,
but
and they don't understand that.
They don't understand the fact that if you're going to use, and I don't want to say change, if you're going to use a different building technique, you have to use it correctly. It is okay if you get approval from the Ministry of Public Works based on your structural drawings to have a structure that is block only.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but block only involves rebar and concrete.
Right.
You cannot have the block only without the rebar and concrete.
Right. Because then
you
there's
just
no
cannot.
Strength.
It's no strength.
No.
Debbie, it's absolutely correct. It's no strength.
It won't
the
take
blocks
that weight.
Alone does not have the capacity to maintain the load and or resist the forces acting on it. That's what the columns and the beams are for.
Mm-hmm.
It carries the load. You take the load carrying capacity, sandwiches.
Thank you. And
so,
it could be sleeping in your beds when the house collapses.
But
if anybody's lifted a bundle of shingles, you can tell how
they're heavy.
How heavy
they are.
I know, right?
So we're talking about it because this is the goal of professionals in construction trying to educate the public. So when these persons pass off these type of structures to you, you could be a little knowledgeable and say, hey, something doesn't seem to be right. Can we check that? And if you check it, you'll find out it isn't correct. So the advancements in the passing of these laws provide protections for the public. We've always said that. The professionalization of an industry provides protection. Debbie, the professional doctor is not going to cut off your toe for your hand. The professional dentist is not going to give you a root canal when you came for cleaning. A professional, whatever the space is, engineer, architect, hairstylist, I'm not a hairstylist, but I guarantee when you go to your hairstylist or you ask me to cut your hair, I guarantee there's going to be a noticeable difference.
Oh,
okay?
I wouldn't let you do that.
Okay. That's what professionals
no,
do.
No, I understand.
And no, but I know you do. I don't know if the public does the importance of you creating the standard in construction where professionals are building for you. That's a joy that you should want.
Some things in this act also talked about that situation. So if... Let's follow on with that story. That person who said something doesn't look right here, can we check it? And they start knocking the block holes to see if there's anything
concrete
in them, and there's
and
nothing,
nothing
there.
In it. Mm.
Right now, there is nowhere, nothing you can actually do to change that. You have no protection.
No.
But the act gives you protection.
So this is an important point now. I want to read this point here. This is application for registration. So Debbie, you want to be registered.
I do.
As a contractor, me too. I'm going to read exactly what it says. Every individual wishing to be registered shall make application, therefore, to the board writing. Mm-hmm. Not the registrar.
Oh.
To the board. So the registrar that has been appointed from 2021 does not have a job function without the board, because the Act says every individual wishing to be registered shall make application to the board in writing and shall furnish to the board, one, proof of identity and residential status in the Bahamas, two, the documents confirming or evidencing his qualifications or experience, three, proof that he has complied with the Consumer Code for Home Builders in relation to the requirement to be covered by the Builders Defects Compensation Scheme, that's the protection mm-hmm. you're talking about, yeah. which must be renewed annually if he is a builder, four, such other particulars as may be prescribed or may be required by the board in any particular case. Not the registrar.
Right.
The board, which has not been appointed. Let's take this call quickly. Call you live. Go ahead.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Excellent. I have a question that's a little bit off. I am looking into, and we're looking into a new process or procedure for dealing pre-treatments for termites in relation to new home building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the standard in the Bahamas right now is just basically foundation treatment
mm-hmm.
and using pressured wood.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that, and this is where the market and how we got into this and how we're looking into this. I'm also expert in the field of pest control, of being around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm quite certain you may or may not know, but I'm not quite certain as it relates to whether you know that even, you know, persons say, okay, well, why would I need to do that service if I'm using treated wood? But one of the things that a lot of people don't know is when you have treated wood, so long as you don't nail into that wood, so long as you don't cut that wood, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what I mean by cut the wood. As you obviously know, the outer crust of the wood and a good 80% of the wood that is treated, the treatment does not necessarily penetrate directly through the entire wood.
Of course.
Okay? And what a lot of persons have this false impression is that, okay, I do not need to have my place sprayed for termites.
Once I use.
Mainly happening mm-hmm. when people are doing a lot of renovations. You know, they just yuck down the old wood and mm-hmm. they just throw up brand new wood.
Mm-hmm.
So they just had chicken that they gave the termites, and now they're going to give them steak. But what they don't understand is that the treated wood, once you cut that, you have now exposed the internal core of the wood.
Which is not treated.
Right.
Termite infestation.
You can mm-hmm. actually brush the edges of everything you've cut.
I'm sorry?
You can actually brush the edges of everything you cut with Selegnum.
That would take a lot of time.
I know.
You can.
I know.
Yeah, you can.
But
yeah.
I think one thing that most people don't realize, and I don't mean to interrupt you, is that it's the roof has treated lumber. Maybe the door frames. I use fir,
mm-hmm.
And the baseboards and door trims and all that kind of stuff are not treated.
No.
So and the doors
yeah,
are,
and
not,
the doors
treated.
Are
so,
not treated.
So
even the roof,
yeah.
even the roof lumber. Once you've cut that, you've now exposed that to termites.
Yeah,
so
I've never seen termites in treated lumber here.
A new system that we're going to be, and I just want to get your guys' idea about it, whether you think it's something viable. We have a technique and some products that we're about to incorporate into the Bahamas, where we actually go in, pre-putting up your, you know, your sheetrock and all of that, and we actually treat the entire wood structure with this product, that literally once we get it there, even if the wood is cut, whatever the case may be,
it provides protection.
To bond, you know, to bond the wood that is cut or nailed into deeply into the wood, thereby allowing termites not to be able to access that.
I
just wanted to get you guys' opinion, whether or not your opinion is something excellent for the market.
Well, I'll tell you this. To answer your question directly, I think it's an absolutely great idea, and it's needed here. I would say though that people need to understand how it works and the benefits of it. We may understand it because we understand the nature of things, but like you mentioned again, people don't understand that, so they're going on the perception that it's everything is treated because you bought pressure treated. So here's what I would encourage you to do.
Uh-huh.
Contact the offices of the Bahamian Contractors Association. Share that information about this product that you're proposing to launch, and we will be more than happy to share this information, certainly with all our membership, so they could benefit from that and offer those things or that product to their customer base as well. But more importantly, we're a distribution point for information so that people could get the best opportunities when they're building their homes.
Right.
I mean, and I don't think people understand that much about it as well. We want people to have quality homes.
Right.
And once we get any new technology, we share it as fast as
as
can and as wide as we can because we want people to benefit.
And we have our monthly luncheon every Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month.
So
and we often have persons come in and be guest speakers and present products and things. You just have to, again, contact
our
Donna
office.
Admin at BahamianContractors.com.
And set up a presentation, and we'll certainly be happy to have you there. But I got to take the next call, and I thank you very much for calling. And certainly, don't be a stranger to the BCA. All right, so we got a next call. Let's take this next call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Brother Leonard and Sister Debbie, how are you all doing?
We're doing fantastic, Jeff. We're doing fantastic.
Everything is great. Listen, I was prompted to call just now because I got to tell you guys, for some reason, that invisible board needs to become visible.
Thank you. Please sign the petition.
You read something just now, and apparently a lot of effort has been put in to try to institute this board.
Yes.
So far, well, I know we are into election season right now, and maybe just as the administration currently has met with the unions prior to coming into office, perhaps this is a unique time for them now to meet with you guys to get serious about this board and really institute this board so if and when they do come back into office, they have something that they have to work on immediately upon assuming office.
I agree.
That's the Prime Minister has to do this.
Also, as I'm at it, should the opposition then win the election and now they're in office, they too should be put on notice that this is something that should be instituted right away because it is fully ludicrous.
Well, we don't have to.
If this is a subject that has been talked about for quite some time,
too long,
and yet this so-called board that is even recognized by the government actually putting certain things in place,
we don't have to
hopefully bring this board into being, and they haven't moved on it, then I would say it's a dereliction of duty. They need to move on this board right away to get you guys certified and also let you guys be recognized as contractors.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. I continue to listen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
We don't have
to
wait until all of that is done for anybody to sign the petition. If you really believe what we're talking about and understand, sign the petition. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
What did we have? 1.2 million views.
We had 1.2 million views, about probably 30,000 engagements, but not nearly enough signatures. So we encourage person to go online. You could go find the petition on our Facebook page. The petition is on our Instagram. The petition is on our website, www.bahamiancontractors.org. It's right at the top. Sign the petition. Click on it. We're not just telling you sign it so you could click on, read what we're telling you about the petition, and then you could fill out the signing part. So, again, the information is out there. But I want to continue with part of this. And again, we're sharing this information to the public so they understand what it means for them. You see that part we talked about, part C, proof. So before this person is given a license, proof that he has complied with the consumer code for the home builders in relation to requirements covered in the builder's defect compensation scheme. So you know that builder's defects compensation scheme? You know who came up with that? Philip Brave Davis, The Minister of Public Works at the time, said, yeah, I like this act, but this act kind of missing something out. Our previous administration before, we had to spend quite a number of millions of dollars coming out of our pockets fixing people's houses that didn't do the great job. They built the houses, but there were defects. But we had to find the money. So what I want to vote, this is his words. Mm-hmm. I want to put in there a scheme that all contractors, because all contractors have to be licensed, right? All contractors pay into. So there's money in the fund that when some defect is done, the contractor doesn't have to pay the money. The contractor has the insurance. The insurance is going to pay out whatever defect for someone else to fix, repair, replace. That's wisdom. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought it's a great thing. It got backlash in here, the fight for it in Parliament. It went to the Senate. God bless the dead. And our good friend, Rodney Monka, he did not agree with it, but he still fought for it. And they got it passed. Mm-hmm. That's a protection for the consumer.
Yes. The consumers, I don't believe, realize
I don't think
the
they
protection
realize that.
that this board and the act has for them, as well as a contractor. The contractors that don't get paid, the contractors...
Get protection for them. But more importantly, Debbie, I want to speak to... You ask a guy to come in, Debbie, and fix your grandma's roof if she's alive. Fix my grandma's roof. Mm-hmm. And he does a poor job. He put on the shingles upside down, so the roof is still leaking. Grandma doesn't have to find the money.
Right.
He doesn't afford to find the money.
Right.
You know, you see the same scheme that you had to comply with called the defects compensation. It's called the defects compensation scheme. Mm-hmm. The word compensation means paying somebody money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I say, yeah, let's pull that file up for that guy. Yeah, the scheme is valued $500,000. Replacing my grandmother's roof cost $30,000, present insurance, find an air contractor, contemporary builders come there, replace the roof. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want that? Right now, someone does the same thing. They just walk away and they say, lady, I ain't got no money.
And there's nothing
Grammy
you can
says,
do?
Well, I don't have no money.
Yeah.
And everyone's crying.
Because we've had people on this radio station and on this show
talking about
how one lady had a person who did a 212 pitch roof instead of a 612 pitch.
That's a defect. And they could have gotten it done again.
She has to live with it.
She has to live with it.
And she's not working with the contractor anymore, so now...
Where's the money going to come from?
Where's the bank? Yeah, what's the bank going to do now?
Nothing.
How is the bank... She may walk away from her mortgage.
Or
why
she
not?
May stay in it in a house that she doesn't love the way she thought she would have loved. You, okay, so these are the things he talked about. But I want to read through again some parts of this act right following the application registration. So after you find out what those four things that you make application for, which are very simple, which every contractor qualifies for, then it says section 2 of section 11, every individual who is not a Bahamian. Now, this is what I love about it. The forethought of this act of Parliament. Every individual who is not a Bahamian citizen who makes an application for registration under this act must obtain all necessary approvals as prescribed by the National Economic Council. Now, Debbie, who's the National Economic Council?
The Prime Minister?
And the
Minister of Finance?
The Cabinet.
Oh.
That individual must...
See, I didn't even know.
I know you didn't. That's why I asked you the question. That individual, if they're non-Bahamian, must receive cabinet approval first, then come make application for registration. They can't come to us first, you know. They said, read what it said. Mm-hmm. Every individual who is not a Bahamian who makes an application for registration under this act must obtain all approvals as prescribed by the National Economic Council.
So like
the cabinet. So you know, stuff.
So like a permanent resident would also still have to go through the same process, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it says every individual who is not a Bahamian citizen.
Right, yeah.
So a permanent resident must receive approval from the NEC, which is the Cabinet of Bahamas.
Yeah.
not more than 90 days after receipt of an application under subsection 1, the board shall consider the application and make a determination as to whether or not the applicant should be registered. Now, obviously, that time doesn't mean 90 days, but it means the longest they could take is
it's
3 months.
Days.
Yeah, that's the longest. Could happen the next day.
And the board, in the beginning, they might only have 10 to register.
Exactly. Section 4 says, the board shall not refuse, let me say it carefully and slow, the board shall not refuse to admit to the register any individual on the sole basis that he has a criminal record, provided that he has not reoffended within 2 years immediately preceding the application.
So do girls get away with it?
Girls,
you
boys,
said he. Well, you said he.
I think in this instance, I mean he.
I'm joking.
So the great thing about it is that even if you have a criminal record, you are not excluded from being a contract, a licensed contractor. And the beauty in that is because we understand that this industry is full of second chance people.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that your path to being a contractor may have taken you to a wrong path, a dark alley, a bad decision, a place you should not have been or should have been and was there too long, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It doesn't exclude you.
Because one thing is, you know, if you're working for somebody else or you're going to get apply for a job somewhere else, right, even as a contractor, and they know that you have
a criminal record,
they're not going to hire you.
Whereas with this... That's not a burdening factor.
Thank you.
And I think that's great.
I do too.
So, anyway, we had a music coming on, and we really wanted to get through more of this information because I think it's important that we focus on real content of the Construction Contractors Act and not what people believe it to be. So we'll be back right after this.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FIB's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIB's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
Tired of fixing those roof leaks over and over again? Paint Suppliers has the answer for you. Now you can fix it once and for all with Total Roof, a 100% silicone roof coating applied with just one coat. It will seal out all your roof leaks, is mildew resistant, easy to apply in just one coat, and makes your roof surface temperature up to 75 degrees cooler. It's guaranteed for 50 years and can be applied to virtually any roof. The amazing Total Roof, only at Paint Suppliers in the Jolly Roger building at number 130 Shirley Street. Total Roof, the last roof coating you'll ever need.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy
We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Well, we are back, and we would like to thank our sponsors again. This is not the Debbie and Leonard show.
No, it is not.
It is the Bahamian Contractors Association's show. We just happened to be the guest host
of the show.
And we're very thankful for the persons who really do appreciate what we're doing.
And keep us on the air.
Yeah. And this week we have ART Development. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions, CBS Bahamas, Engineering and Technical Services. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lambert Knowles.
Thank you, Lambert.
And The Paint Place. So thank you very, very, very much for, you know, sticking with us and understanding what we are actually here for. We so appreciate that.
Yeah. And I want to give out the numbers for the persons who may not have saved it already. The telephone lines, you can call it 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Islands, 300-5720. And you can text us using our BTC-powered text line. It is 422-4796. Standard rates apply. So, Debbie and I was having a quick chat off air, and she reminded me that the registrar that we currently have is our second registrar. Our first registrar appointed in 2017 was the person in the name of Mr. Omar Archer. And I know the public knows a lot about that individual. And our second registrar appointed by the Davis administration is, again, Dr. Melissa Hall. Both of them have no duty to do until the board is appointed, both of them, until Parliament is prorogued, would have received 10 years' worth of salary and no job function until the board is appointed.
Wow.
Must be nice. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, we're not here to talk about that.
That $50,000 that they have is a stipend in the budget last year.
It's not for them. They got a whole different... Right. They got paid for the public treasury. Yeah, okay. That's not the...
Because that certainly wouldn't cover it.
No, that's not.
It might do the office and staff.
Yeah. No.
Well, for just a short period of time.
For
don't forget.
A week.
No, but remember in August when the Prime Minister said...
Yeah, I know.
...that went in the budget because there was only part of the year left over to do it?
Yeah, but I'm not saying for the space where the board is going to be sitting. You know, you can pay somebody, staff from stationary. I could tell you, it can cost more than that. But anyway, let's continue this education process. Now, here's what I want the public to pay attention to. And this is this is the meat of it. And I've just read through about 5 pages. Mm-hmm. We're almost literally through the whole meat of the whole thing. Part 4, Certificates of Registration. I like this. So not only that, you will get a license. You have a certificate that you've been registered as a contractor. That's an important thing. Let's read what the Act says. Section 4, 13, subsection 1, qualification for temporary registration. An individual is entitled to be temporarily registered in the relevant section of the register for a period not exceeding 6 months upon its written application to the board for registration as a contractor, if he satisfies the board that he is qualified to be registered under subsections 1 and 2 of Section 10. So, here's what that's important about that. You said before, under the persons being appointed to the board, they must be, they have to be one registered contractor.
Right.
Now, that's interesting, because if you're not registered yet, except for by the board, how can you be appointed if you're not a registered contractor? Then they have to work on that
like,
a little bit.
It's like having a baby before you get pregnant.
Yeah, it's kind of a little funny that way. But what I believe is that this temporary registration happens automatically. That's the only way you could be registered before you get appointed. Or, and we're just assuming because we're not the board, or on prima facie surface evidence, the minister in his wisdom determines the individual fit and proper to be licensed, as this act says, the person who's qualified to be licensed, and appoints him to the board. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to debate the point. Secondly, qualification registers, he is temporarily in the Bahamas for the purpose of carrying out work in connection to a particular project specified in his application. Now, what that speaks to, and remember we talked about this. Okay, Debbie, let's say from time to time, and this is a big area, from time to time, let's say you're installing some type of medical equipment. It's not something that you know to do. It's not something that we have people in country to do.
Right.
They install, and I went to some of your clients' places. There's some very fancy million-dollar-plus machine.
CAT scan machine. Yeah.
You ain't breaking no $2 million machine.
No.
I ain't breaking it. They may have to have some contractor come in and install that. Mm-hmm. That contractor will have to receive a temporary license.
Right.
It gives provision for them. Because he say you could make an application for temporary registration if he is temporarily in the Bahamas for the purpose of carrying out work in connection with a particular project specified in his application. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I like about it? It removes all these funny people who come into the Bahamas doing work and say, I'm only working here for 10 months or 3 days or 4 days, and they're just ghosting in the projects and the immigration don't know who they are, and they just floating through the system.
I know.
No, we could know who you are. You can make an application. You can be honest about this now.
And a lot
That's
of
not
equipment,
a bad thing.
No, and a lot of equipment that does come in.
It's specialized equipment.
Right, but the persons, the companies that make that equipment will not let anybody.
But install that equipment.
Right.
Or else it void the warranty.
Right.
But right so that, now
those
they're doing
persons
that.
Have to come in on a temporary work permit at this point in time.
But here's the addition. So not only did they have to get a temporary work permit, now they're coming into industry. That is rules now. They have to get a temporary
license. Which means money in the same kitty.
Which means money in the, so you was getting only one set of money before. Now the governor of Bahamas getting two set of money.
Yeah.
Because you could come in before now because they weren't following the law. They're just coming in, immigration gets some money. Mm-hmm. Nah, Construction Contractors Act say they have to apply for a temporary registration to the board. So we got to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The board needs to know. And then we can give you a temporary license.
Right. And this board will make a considerable amount of money with registering and licensing contractors.
I like the other thing, too. Section 3. He is qualified in a specialist field of construction not readily available in the Bahamas as evidenced by his registration in the field by a legally empowered authority in the country approved by the board. So, an individual says, I need to come to Bahamas and be registered as a contractor in the Bahamas. I'm from Belize, or I want to be registered as a painter, specialist painter. Mm-hmm. I'm from Belize, and I need to get this temporary residence. Temporary license.
Mm-hmm.
So the act says this person must be qualified in the specialty field of construction that's not readily available in the Bahamas. So this is the area where we don't have nobody who do this stuff.
So they have
because
to,
if they do,
they have to show their own qualifications from
exactly.
where they came from.
And they have to show that we don't know how to do the things they come to do.
Right.
Because this protects us, the contractors. Mm-hmm. What if a guy says, everyone come here and I'm a masonry block layer.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they get a license? They shouldn't. This act says that they have to provide evidence
that no one else can
that
do.
This field of construction is not readily available in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Can we find masons, Debbie?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. But
see the protection in there?
You did mention one, which is good, like the painting, because there are certain things that have to be painted I would say, from designers and decorators and that kind of course, thing, that we just do not have those persons here.
Exactly.
And most contractors that are here now actually do bring in those specialty persons.
And exactly.
You know, even like doing etched glass and etched that kind of stuff, like when you have the railings on the stairwells and stuff.
High-end yes. plaster, Venetian plaster, yes. and you have to bring in person.
Yeah.
Or if you want to talk about doing high-end polishing for whatever it mm-hmm. is. I'm just saying, that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. Evidence of fact that you're a specialist right. in this area, mm-hmm. it covers that. Mm-hmm. Good next call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, Debbie and Leonard, calling back in again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are discussing something that has already been proven in this country, but I don't know whether we still are even adhere anywhere remotely close to how it was.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember back in the 80s and 90s when I first got into the hospitality industry, mm-hmm. i.e. hotel. Celinda and Oscar Pimling had something whereas a person could come into this country, and if for instance, the hotel wanted someone with a specialty,
mm-hmm.
and they allowed that person to come in under a work permit for a certain period of time, but while he is here, he would grab two persons or three persons under that person's wing,
mm-hmm.
and will train them mm-hmm. as he's here doing his work. So by the time his work permit then expires and he goes back, we have two or three Bahamians at least with the basic knowledge of what that craft was,
mm-hmm.
so they could continue the work going forward and just build from that point.
I agree.
But now what we have in this country today is that persons come here, they start with one thing under the work permit,
mm-hmm.
and then they go and some reapply, some don't apply, and they end up staying mm-hmm. in the country for decades,
mm-hmm.
and they're still here, they start their own companies.
They didn't train anyone.
Okay, and didn't train anyone, and yet we are stuck in the quagmire because we have no Bahamians being suitably qualified or even basically trained to take over these positions that these persons who initially came into the country just to do one single thing
temporary
for
thing.
A period of time,
yeah.
they're still here. And
yeah.
it's a travesty because the party in particular that this whole thing started under regime, the past regimes for the same party has not continued that trend, mm-hmm. and therefore it places the Bahamian at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you're right.
Fix this problem.
Yes.
We have all the knowledge of what's going on in this country, and the sad reality is nobody seems really serious from an administrative standpoint to stamp the corrupt practices out. Let's fix these things in the country that we know worked in the past,
mm-hmm.
and begin the process of mm-hmm. returning Bahamians back to the prominent positions that they held in this country one time ago. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I really wish really wish that they would bring that back, because that was, I remember back Solomon Adderley on Hay Street, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the joinery shop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know. He was always training somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He always had young apprentice in his place. But it's true, if somebody's coming into this country to work and get a job that maybe we're not qualified for, the least you can do is leave some information here with you. Yes.
Pass that skill on to the
Absolutely.
Next generation of Bahamians.
Absolutely.
And speaking on that, I was very delighted to see one of our board members who is the owner of Trusco. Had persons from
Government High
in their business
teachers.
Today, teaching them how to create and build wood trusses.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fantastic, and that's building the next generation of contractors.
Right, and that happened from us going to speak to the Ministry of Education with regard to working with getting young students to actually not leave high school and then have to look for a trade, to leave high school with a trade.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, that was just awesome. I'm so proud of Robin for doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's take this next caller. Oh, sorry. My producer. I'm ahead of my producer right now. Let me see what we get. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Debbie. Good evening, Leonard. How y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic.
We're doing good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Leonard, the home what you're talking about, they are proving that over here now, because we used to see that like in Fort Lauderdale in Miami, where they just tie the block to the columns and then just pour on a little piece on the top, no belt, no steel, the hurricane clips into that and then put on the roof. They are proving that type of home over here now?
The answer to that is yes. That's yes. However, they are proving it the right way. What we keep talking about is persons who don't not know the right way and are trying to build it.
Right. And it hasn't.
And that's really, not the correct way.
And it has not been officially added to our building code.
Actually,
yet.
It is.
Right.
It is.
It has.
That's not a change to the building code. That's already an existing code.
Yeah, because
that's an existing code.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
That form of construction?
We did it in Abaco 15 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my bad. Apologize to everybody.
And then if they have like a Category 1 hurricane and we have a Category 1 hurricane, if you had a drone fly over them, they would be mashed right up.
I think they would.
See the bunch of wood.
I think they would.
Our concrete structure will still be there. Our roof might be off or part of the roof, but
if they put concrete in it, if they put concrete in it,
yeah, and steel. If they put the column steel and the Belcor steel and everything, it'll be stronger.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean that's an important contribution and point you made. And one of the things I like about it is that I think the public recognizes what is good and which is wrong and which is changed from what they used to sing. And that's how you have to observe things. And when you see something that doesn't look like it lines up with what you know to be the system, two things you should do. Document it, take a photo of it. I often go and take photos of things. And then I make an inquiry. I call down to Public Works. I say, okay, I'm seeing this. Is this new? Is this a change to building code? And they would say, well, no, it really isn't. But if you look at this kind of structure, you could do it this way. Because you could do, again, for simplicity, and ease of operation. It's easy to do it with columns. I'll tell you right now, if you're coming up out of the ground, you have to be very exacting to have your rebars formal in the center of every third block.
Right.
Then continue that straight up to the belt, around windows and doors. That's exacting work. You know it's easy?
Yeah.
I could block away anywhere on a block, stop a block, 1 foot on this side, 1 foot on that, take some plywood, rebar inside there, and I pour a column. That's actually, I don't need to be exacting with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're coming up without any columns and without any beams, and you're just using blockwork, you have to be, and if you, and I would say this, look in the States when you see that. Those blocks are perfect.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to straighten them with. You're not pouring anything around them. You're not going to hide it or anything. They're very exacting. So, caller, definitely thank you. Thank you for your contribution.
And what you're all fighting for is so important, because like you say, man, everybody's contractor, man. I see contractors, them, even ain't got no vehicle, no truck. They got SD cube, total 2x4, and things of them. Some contractors can't even read tape, can't read plan, man.
No.
And they're on here, but they're on billows.
Yeah.
All right, man, great show again, man.
Thank you for your contribution, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I want to add something to that. I don't want people to think that because they don't know what they're doing or they're new or they're young or whatever that they won't be grandfathered in.
No, they will probably still all be grandfathered in.
Everything is written in here as to how everybody is grandfathered in, and there's a 2-year period, and then there's a
qualifying. Then you'll see who's qualified or not.
Uh-huh.
We got a text message, and sorry, texter, I did not get a chance to look at this when you said it. The question is the registrar being paid? The answer is absolutely yes. The registrar for the last 10 years, both registrars have been paid. I cannot comment on the salary that they're being paid because I'm quite sure that is information that you could find. I did not make inquiries in it, but it is a paid job and both registrars have been paid and are being paid by
but
the
we still have no
government
board.
Of the Bahamas, and we have board. That's interesting. And now in closing thoughts. Closing thoughts, Debbie, on this. Give me your closing thoughts on
my closing
on
thoughts are I can't believe that an hour has already gone.
No,
I really would like people to understand that we are really not trying to do anything to annoy people or that isn't right. We're just trying to have the board chosen so that we can start doing things correctly.
Yeah.
So that we can be protected as contractors, clients can be protected. And the industry can actually be respected.
And respected, that's my final thought.
Respected.
We want the industry to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And if the industry is respected, people then will do respectful work and everyone feels the benefit of having professionals in the construction industry.
Absolutely.
And that's it. And this is another edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. Mm-hmm. And we wish everyone a safe night.
Yes.
In years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Thank you for your support.